Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz. Today, as we hop on board the Bible bus, we're studying one of history's greatest poems of human love. That's the Song of Solomon. But Dr. McGee helps us to see that the even greater message of this book is its picture of the loving relationship between Jesus and you and me, when we know him as our Savior. You can look forward to hearing more about that in today's study, but first, I want to invite Greg Harris, our International Director, to share with us what God's doing in an unusual place in the world.
Somalia, where Africa meets the Arab world. The desperate plight of this strategically located nation has been all over international news in recent years. But the people of Somalia are celebrating hope today. The political chaos is turning to calm as recent elections have weakened the impact of militant groups and humanitarian relief is rebuilding food stores. But even deeper peace is taking root as people turn their lives to God. We recently heard this from a church leader in a refugee camp. We gather to listen to your program in the camp. The brothers and sisters here wholeheartedly appreciate the good news. We have no fear where we live, and we pray that the threats to the Christians will diminish as the political solutions for Somalia are close. Let's lift these brothers and sisters to God, asking for his protection and provision in this recovering nation. Join our world prayer team at ttb.org. Tomorrow, we go to Niger.
Thanks, Greg. We'll join together in prayer for this amazing work of God. We've come to learn that those who understand God's grace and mercy the best are those who stand for us before the throne of God, interceding for our listeners, pleading for the effectiveness of this teaching in people's lives in North America and everywhere radio reaches, and now through the internet as well. So thank you for your partnership with us in prayer. We believe it's the most important thing that we can do together. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're energized by the news of what you're doing in the hearts of people around the world. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts as well. Teach us today from your word and help us respond in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now we come, friends, today back to this very interesting verse that we have here. He says, "My beloved," and will you notice that? "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi." Now this is, oh, so lovely. All of this is so lovely and beautiful, poetic, and it speaks of this girl that was keeping the sheep. She's a hillbilly girl, and the shepherd has come, and we've already suggested it'll be Solomon later on, but this also depicts the wonderful relationship between Christ and the church and between Christ and the individual believer who wants to come in close to him and have fellowship with him. Now, she speaks here, "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi." Now, the camphor here actually is the cypress. The New Scofield Bible calls it the henna flowers. And actually, the flowers of the cypress are that color. Fact of the matter is, a great deal of study has been made by scholars on the mention here of these different plants. And they grow in profusion, that is, the cypress does, in that land and in Turkey. All through that area, the thing I noticed about Turkey, traveling over the landscape, visiting the ruins of these seven churches and of others there, the thing that impressed me above everything else was these great rows of cypress trees. Now, there's a very interesting statement can be made concerning them, and I'd like to pass that on to you. The cypress is now generally agreed to be the henna of the Arabians. The deep color of the bark, the light green of the foliage, and the softened mixture of white-yellow in the blossoms present a combination as agreeable to the eye as the odor is to the scent. The flowers grow in dense clusters, the grateful fragrance of which is as much appreciated now as in the time of Solomon. The women take great pleasure in these clusters. They hold them in their hand, carry them in their bosom, and keep them in their apartments to perfume the air. And this is Quito's statement concerning now the cypress, and it's well for us to know what we're talking about here. But now will you notice the comparison is made here the bridegroom, and what a lovely thing it is. He is to me as a cluster, a camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now, probably we ought to mention En-Gedi. En-Gedi is the place, and I visited there, is down by the Dead Sea. It's one of these wonderful oases in the desert. Springs are there. It's where David hid from Saul. And if you ask me, it's a good hiding place. I don't think you could find anybody in those barren hills that are around there. But En-Gedi itself, and all kinds of lovely spices are grown there. It's quite an interesting place in that desolate desert that is down there. Now, the statement is used that he is camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. A row of these trees, these lovely trees. Now, will you notice how beautiful it is? It's a fragrance that is common to it and to the myrrh also. Now, Christ as the beloved is represented here full of attractive beauty as well as an aromatic fragrance here. And I wonder if those of us today who emphasize the deity of Christ as much as, for instance, as I do on the broadcast, I wonder if maybe sometimes I don't give you a lopsided view of him. Have you ever stopped to think how lovely he was in his person, just his human person when he was down here? He came and took upon himself, you know, our humanity. He was in all points like as we are, tempted as we are, sin apart, no sin in him. And how wonderful he is, how lovely he is, how glorious he is. He wasn't lopsided. You remember in the meal offering, there was well-beaten flour. He wasn't lumpy like most of us are. And I don't mean physically, but psychologically. All of us are off in one way or another, tell the truth. Any psychologist will tell you that. We all have our peculiarities. One man was talking to another and said to him, says, you know, we all have peculiarities. And this man says, well, I don't think so, said. I don't think I have any peculiarities. And the man said to him, says, all right, said, let me ask you a question. Says, do you stir your coffee with your right hand or your left hand? And the fellow thought of him, why, he says, I stir it with my right hand. Well, he says, that's your peculiarity. Says, most people use a spoon. And so we have today, all of us, peculiarities, you see. We may not stir our coffee with our hand, but we got peculiarities. We're lumpy. He was not. He was the perfect human being. How lovely he was. He is the bundle of camphor, and it's a picture of him as the one that John could look at him and say with such enthusiasm and with such expression, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And if you'll hear him, hearing your souls shall live. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And he was a sacrifice, Paul says in Ephesians, a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor. He was the burnt offering that ascended up to heaven. And it just speaks of the fact that, as we'll see later, God is satisfied with what Jesus did for you. And he's satisfied with Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He never said that about Vernon McGee. And I have a notion he never said that about you. But he was satisfied with Jesus. And say, are you satisfied with him? Oh, when I see all the activity today in all these different organizations, arts and all this psychological gimmickry that's being used and all kinds of programs being put in. And we have to introduce this, and we have to have this modern music, and we have to approach everything from some viewpoint. My friend, are you satisfied with Jesus? I don't think people are today. They wouldn't be running here and yon over the face of the earth trying to find satisfaction. Some of them going to conferences. Some of them running to hear this thing and that thing, something that is new today. And we got all kinds of little organizations and even Bible study. People can get so engrossed in that they lose sight of the person of Jesus Christ here. How wonderful he is. He's a bundle of camphor. And what a picture we have of him. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life, hath eternal life. Oh, have you seen him? Do you know him today? And then we're told, let us run the race that's set before us, Christian friend, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then there's something else here. We find that it's a bundle of camphor. We have a great emphasis in the Scripture, the oneness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. He is the one good shepherd. He's the one true vine. He's the one rose of Sharon. He's the one light of the world. He's the one servant of the Father. He is the one sacrifice for sins. He is the one way, one truth, one life. But in his perfect unity, there is a fullness that is absolutely exhaustless. And may I say to you that he's also a cluster of fragrant flowers. There is the oneness, but oh, in him there is everything. It's a cluster of this one who is the one beloved, the one Christ, the one Son of the living Father and Son of Man. Not two clusters, but one. But he has a lot of blossoms, beauteous blossoms, and the fragrance that comes from them, and the innumerable graces crowd harmoniously together in the Lamb of God. While you have in him the faith of Abraham, the persuasiveness of Jacob, the meekness of Moses, the zeal of Elijah, the holiness of Job, the love of John, they're all full and perfect in him. And you find in him truth and righteousness and wisdom and love and pity and friendship and majesty and might and sovereignty and lowliness and patience and faith and zeal and courage and holiness and all the graces. And if I've left anything out, it ought to be included too, because he is everything. He is all in all to us. And Christ is ours today. How wonderful it is. And that's the way that the bride is going to respond here, as we're going to see in just a moment. Will you look then at now what the bride says here? It says, my beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. He is the one. The one who's altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. We're talking now about Christ, friends. What does he mean to you? Now she says, the bride is responding, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. I think this is interesting. He speaks to her and tells how wonderful she is. And now she turns right around and says the same thing to him. Thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair, is what he says. And she turns right around and she says, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Now, let's look at that for a moment. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. I mentioned this last time. She's the one that said, I'm black, for the sun hath looked on me. Sunburn. And what does he say? He says, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. You see, we've sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. We rebel even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. That is the confession of every Christian if he's a child of God. And now what has happened is the Lord Jesus could say, I've given them thy word and they've kept thy word. And that's his pleading for you and me today. And as God would see no iniquity in Jacob, a perverseness in Israel, and wouldn't let Balaam criticize him, oh, he went down and dealt with him. God dealt with him, but he won't let a heathen prophet do that because he sees us today in Christ. Behold, thou art fair, and the secret of the beauty is in this. Thou hast dove's eyes, eyes chaste and constant, for what? Is it? Why, they have the beauty of the bridegroom, because they have their eyes fixed upon him, and all the beauty is derived. Why, if the eye be single, you remember, the whole body is full of light, and full thereof also of beauty. For if the eye be double, the body is full of darkness, and we need to keep an eye on him. And the Lord Jesus laid it on the line. He said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You've got your eye fixed upon the Lord Jesus. Oh, I get tired of all these dedicated Christians that are as lazy as they can be. I've been in many conferences. I hear a great deal about dedication. As a friend said to me that makes the rounds about like I do of these different groups, he says it's interesting where they're always talking about dedication and that they want to manifest Christ. You get the sorriest service. Man, they're lousy, if you ask me. That's not a good word, but it's not good what they're doing. But they're always talking about how dedicated they are, and they want to serve the Lord. And they're lazy as they can be. My friend, you don't talk about it. You reveal it, and you reveal your love to him by it must be manifested in your life. Thou art fair, my beloved. Now, the bridegroom is to those of us who believe he's everywhere. He's beautiful. He's no superstar. He is altogether lovely. And he's fair in heaven. And he's fair. Oh, thou art fair, my beloved. He's fair in heaven. He was fair on earth. He was fair when he was in a virgin's womb. He was that holy thing. He was fair in the arms of his parents. He was fair in the miracles he performed. Fair in the stripes he bore. He was fair when calling upon life. Fair when disregarding death. Fair in laying down his life for you and me. Fair in receiving it again. Fair on the cross. Fair in the sepulcher. Augustine said that, and he's pleasant. You know, the word is used to describe the wonderful melodies of the sanctuary. Sing praises to him because it is pleasant, that which is pleasant. He's pleasant. He's lovely. Why would people run away from Jesus Christ? He's so wonderful, so lovely. Behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the agreeableness of a chosen earthly friend, closer than a brother. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me, O Jonathan. That's what David said of Jonathan. What can you and I say of the greater than Jonathan, our Jesus? Can you say he's pleasant, sweet to be with him, wonderful to be with him? He is the one that can bring rest to us. Are you satisfied today with Jesus? God is. Now he says also our bed is green. Well, actually it is the reclining couch where they sat around the banquet, or the couch that the king would sit upon. And I think it's a picture of the banquet couch here. And it was always strewn with flowers and green leaves as for a marriage feast. And what a beautiful picture it is. Now, I very frankly think that it could be the green grass where the sheep were, that was the place where they were sitting. They were reclining there. It could be in the palace in Jerusalem. I don't know. All I know is that What we have here is this glorious, wonderful picture. And here is where she talks to the shepherd about his sheep. Here is where she can commune with him. And there's communication. And David put it like this, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And when a sheep lies down in green pastures, he's full. He's had enough. And he always makes us lie down in green pastures, you see. What a beautiful picture this is. And what a lovely picture it is. Oh, to come and rest. And that's his invitation. Come and rest, he says. Those that are heavy laden. Are you tired? Are you weary? Christian friend, rest in him. As someone has put it, "Heavy laden and hopeless thou art, seeking peace afar off and passing him who is near. Like Hagar in the desert, with the last drop drained from the now shriveled water skin, thou art ready to lie down and die. But open thine ears, and thou wilt hear one say, 'Come unto me, and I'll rest you.' Open thine eyes, and thou wilt see the well and the green sward around it. And with a full heart, thou wilt answer him, 'Behold, thou art pleasant. Also our couch is green.'" What a picture. What a beautiful picture. And you remember where he reclined. When he first came to this earth, they put him in a manger. And the last place they put him was in that tomb of Joseph. May I say to you, he went to that place that you and I might sit down with him in green pastures. What a picture we have here, friends. We'll leave right off there today. You see, we're not going fast, but we are going to have to pick up momentum because we're running late again in our program. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Those closing words from Dr. McGee from our study of Song of Solomon reminds us of Jesus' own words that invite us to come to him for rest, and not just for the rest of a good night's sleep or a long vacation. Jesus invites us into a rest for our souls, perfect peace in a world of confusion and anxiety. Take some time today not only to listen to God's word taught, but to focus on your relationship with the Lord. When you do, I pray he brings you this kind of rest for your soul. As you know, Through the Bible wants to help you in any way that we can to develop the relationship with Jesus Christ through your study of and meditation on God's Word. To help you in that goal, we invite you to request our Bible bookmark that helps guide your personal time reading in God's Word. We only send what you request, so if you'd like to receive free resources from us, then ask to be added to our mailing list. Just let us know from time to time that you're still using the resources that we send. If you'd like to receive our brand new resource catalog, that too is yours for the asking. Or even more timely, visit ttb.org and browse through the scores of resources that are available free of charge or for a small cost to cover production and mailing. Now, as you may know, Through the Bible is committed to providing you with spiritual resources to help you grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. We also rely upon the generosity of those who benefit from these resources to financially support the ongoing work of this ministry. Thanks for praying about how the Lord wants you to play a role in providing for this daily broadcast in your city and around the world. And when you hear me reading letters from other parts of the globe, then you can be grateful that your partnership in the gospel helped to make that ministry happen. Your partnership means so much to us. As the Apostle Paul prayed in Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." If we can help you find what you need, please call 1-800-65-BIBLE anytime. We'll continue in our study of Song of Solomon tomorrow with a new picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow as the Bible Bus continues to roll along on our 5-year journey.
Jesus made it all. Unto him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.